GoodSuccess.com. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege to learn from you again today. Be magnified in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that you visit everyone and let no one return back the same way in the name of Jesus. Bring us to the level of productivity by your power and by your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. The topic remains 7 secrets of good success, how to break from obscurity to limelight. And we are taking the second part of the law of productivity. Law of productivity 2. Last week, we had a foundation of what the law of productivity is all about. It's about us being able to maximize our time, our resources, whether material, mental, manual, or spiritual inputs that we have put into an activity, and then being able to bring about fruits, outcome that are commensurate with the input we have actually put in. We want to get to a place where we have been able to maximize and efficiently use all those resources. That is what productivity is all about. And when we bring it into our lives, God has also given you and I the life we have now as a gift. And God is checking to see how much of that life we have maximized. He wants to see how much of it we have been able to make use of, based on the time and the resources we have. And last week we saw the story of the talents. That man gave it to them. That man is a representation of God giving his gifts to us. And he has also given us capacities, capabilities to be able to maximize those things. What God expects from you may not be what he expects from you. Maybe he expects more from me or more from you than he does from the other person. But one thing we do know is that God wants us to maximize every moment of our lives. So today we are going to be spending more time on the enemies of productivity. And I'm sure we will be able to relate with many of these things that I'll be mentioning today. So please, let's put our spirit in action and pay rapt attention to all these things. Praise God. So we'll be looking at Luke 13:6-9. I mentioned it briefly last week, but we will be reading it today. It says, "He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, 'Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none.' May that not be your life or my life in Jesus' name. But he says, 'Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?' But he answered and said to him, 'Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down.'" That shows how much God is interested in productivity. He says, "I will check the life of this person. I've invested a lot of things in his life. I've done so many things. But let's check if this guy is actually maximizing the life, the gifts, the resources that I've given him." Also, we are going to be looking at Ephesians 5:15-17. We read it also last week. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or you can say walk wisely, walk with precision, walk productively. It says, "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, maximizing the time, being productive every moment, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So the first thing we need to understand is the will of God. What is the will of God? That we maximize every time. That we are able to give an account of our stewardship, and then God is happy at the end of the day. What are the enemies of productivity? We must understand that we need to put up a fight against fruitlessness. See, beyond the obvious, beyond the things we can see, there are spiritual forces that hinder productivity. Some of them are directly spiritual, some of them are mixed up with the things, with the activities, with the actions that we take or do not take per day. Okay, so for example, Why are other people productive and you are not, or I am not? If you are in a business and somebody is making millions in that business, and then the other person is struggling to even live by to make 10,000 or 20,000 in that business, there is something wrong in between. It could be directly spiritual, it could be other reasons, but we know that there is an anomaly if somebody can go to that extent of making so much. So let's say somebody is making a million in that business, and then somebody else is making 800, 900. We know, okay, just a little difference. But somebody is struggling to make 20. Why somebody is just making millions with ease? Then there is something that we must check. Why are others productive? Why am I not? That's a question you want to ask yourself. Now, somebody can be productive in some areas of life and not productive in others. So, some may be productive in some areas while they are not productive in certain other areas. So, you want to check your life. You want to check whether you have all-round productivity, all-round favor, or it's just in certain areas. So, what are the enemies of productivity? Have you ever planned to spend 15 minutes on a task and ended up spending 2 hours? How many of us have experienced it before? We are like, oh, this thing, 15 minutes, I'll be done. And naturally, it should take 15 minutes. But at the end of 2 hours, you can't even relate. You are like, wait, what happened? Why can't I finish in 15 minutes? And I'll be looking at some of the things that could be leading to all those things now. Number one, there could be issues and problems here and there. For example, you decide to work online, and then internet started acting up. And you know, God bless Nigeria, NEPA, that's when they decided to take light. So many things are just working against all the things you want to do. Itches, problems. That was the day your laptop decided to act up, or your phone decided to not behave well, or something just went wrong. And you're like, what is happening here? Itches and problems here and there that you didn't plan to have. This could lead to lack of productivity in your life. Somebody has been planning an event and then they decide to say, okay, that all is no longer for use. What you wanted to use for that event is no longer available. Why is that happening? Itches and problems here and there can lead to lack of productivity, or it can lead to fruitlessness. See, the opposite of productivity is fruitlessness. Number two, distractions. This is a major one for our generation. Social media, unplanned visits or visitors. Somebody just knocks your door and just came to visit, and you're like, this person should go. And now this is not somebody you can just tell to go, and then the person's talking and saying all manner of things that are not related to what will even help your life. And you're like, oh my God, I plan to do this thing within the, maybe it's even prayer. Then this person comes and start talking about Arsenal, Maju and all other things, and it's difficult for you to just tell the person to go. Unplanned visitors, distractions. These are distractions. Or maybe now, unplanned visitors, you can tell them to go, right? What about your children acting up? That's when they want to go and pull. That's when they want to go and pee. That's when they want to do all manner of things. There's nothing wrong with the children, but why are they doing that at that moment? Distractions. Or you are doing something on your phone, something productive, and then Facebook message came in. I just want to see a reaction. How many of you have ever planned to just go and do something business-wise on Facebook, and you end up spending maybe 30 minutes or 1 hour looking at irrelevant things? You're just like, you're now like rewinding your brain and like, wait, why did I even come to Facebook in the first place? You're like, wait, I just wanted to put something on my status. Why did I end up watching videos I didn't plan to watch? Why did I end up doing things I didn't plan to do? That is exactly what distraction can do. But I rebuke today the spirit of distraction that is preventing you and I from being productive in Jesus' name. Amen. Number three, loss of will and eagerness. Now, sometimes you plan to do something. Yesterday, before you slept, you wrote it down. You planned, you programmed, but you woke up in the morning and then there is minus 10 level of eagerness and willingness. You just saw that there is no more willingness to do the right thing. And you know, if you don't have willingness, there is no way you can do what is right. Willingness just disappeared. You said you were going to pray at night. Then at night, you just felt like, no, I don't feel like praying. I just feel like sleeping. And there is no reason behind it. loss of willingness and eagerness could lead to lack of productivity. Then number four, lack of the understanding of the requirements. Now, like I was mentioning, I think last week, that's one of the reasons people fail is because we don't know what it takes to even succeed. We don't know how long it takes. We don't know the many-sided things we need to do to even succeed. Now, if you don't know the requirements, how can you do what is required? So, lack of the understanding of the requirements of what it takes to succeed is something that can lead to failure. It can lead to lack of productivity. And if you are not productive, how can we be in limelight? How can we have that good success? So, not knowing what to do, it's a major problem in itself. It leads to fruitlessness. Then number five, lack of nurture. What does it mean to nurture? You can listen to the episode on nurture, the law of nurture. But today, I'll just mention it. I was listening to Apostle Joshua Stearman today. He was talking about refusing to grow is refusing to be productive. If you don't grow, you can't be productive. But if you don't nurture yourself, you can grow. That means if I don't nurture my life, my spiritual life, I can't grow in that aspect. And life is many-sided. If I don't nurture myself when it comes to business, I can't grow in my business. If I don't read the right books, learn from the right people, take action at the right time, if I don't grow, see, there are some things that we cannot touch, I cannot touch, if I don't grow into it. It's just simple. If your child is 2 years old, you can't give the key of your car. You love the child, but you won't give the key of your car for him to go and start driving. No, because the child has not grown into it. There are some things we need to grow into. And trust me, growth is intentional. It's about you nurturing your spiritual life, your physical life, your biological life, exercise, reading, doing all the things that make for success. So if you don't grow, we can't be productive. So if you don't nurture yourself in any area of life, you will not be productive in that area. Then number six, wrong information. See, it's just like somebody going from Nigeria to Ghana and he boarded a plane to Russia. I mean, they are two different worlds, of as simple as going from Lagos to Ibadan and then you face Badagry. That's not the normal way to go from Lagos to Ibadan. You want to go through the shortest path. So if somebody has the wrong information and is running with the wrong information, there is no way for productivity to become reality. So you need to check all the information I have right now in that aspect of life. Are they correct? Because if they are not right, if they are wrong, then I can't be productive in that area of life. Then number eight, wrong association. If you're wrong with the wise, you'll be wise, the Bible says, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. If you are with the wrong people, going in the wrong direction, one way or the other, you will end up in their path. You will end up in their destination. Because you can't just deny yourself. Because they will drag you one way or the other. So, you and I want to check our association. Check this whole year. This year is coming to an end. Check all the people I work with this year. How did they improve my life? Or how did I improve their lives? If I'm not improving their lives, they are not improving my lives, then I better walk away unapologetically, because you have one life to live, I have one life to live. So I want to check that I'm in the right association. Sometimes you have to intentionally look for that association. Sometimes you're already within reach and just need to maximize it. So you want to check the association that will take you to that right place. For example, if you want to increase your prayer life, you work with people who are prayerful. You intentionally ask them, oh, can I start praying with you? Maybe you go to church with them, or you stay online on your phone and pray with them. Let me tell you, I started speaking in tongues for long because my sister-in-law, I was staying with my brother then, my sister-in-law prayed with me just one night. We prayed together one night. Then I didn't even know that you could be praying long in tongues. I only knew that, oh, you just pray in tongues maybe when you feel like it, or maybe for 1 minute, 2 minutes. That was all I knew. And then she said, no, that you can't grow your Christian life like that. I said, you know what, I will pray with you. And God bless her. That night, she prayed with me, maybe 15 minutes, and she left me to continue praying. Since that time, I've been able to pray for long in tongues. And if you don't pray in tongues as a Christian, trust me, you will be weak spiritually. So, that is right association, because of one night of prayer. Then when I was in school too, there's this brother who I knew was very spiritual and, you know, will read concordances, read books and all manner. I was like, how did I get into this realm? He just said, you know what, let's go to the sports center in school. Let's go there and pray. And we went there at night. We just started walking around the field and praying in tongues. See, these things will rub on you when you have the right association. I can mention several areas of my life that I can say came to my life because of right association. Some of them will come through the books you are reading. Growth is intentional, and it comes through right association. I remember when I was in school, and then there is this terrible course with this, God bless that lecturer. In fact, you know what? When people know he's the one going to coordinate maths for that year, people intentionally withdraw that. No, I will not put it in my set of courses this year. I will not register that course. Some people will register and withdraw it. Then no, because people fail massively when he coordinates maths. And then I said, no, I won't draw back. I will do this course. I mean, when we started, I know why people were actually withdrawing. For the first time in my life, I scored 0.75 over 10 in a test. And guess what? You need to clap for me now, because I was one of the highest. You know what? People are getting like 0.50, maybe 0.1. But I remember that I scored 0.75 over 10 in a test. I've never heard that before. That was the first time and the last time. And I knew that, no, if God does not intervene, this is extra year knocking my door. And that is like a 4-unit course. And guess what? That was the time as I reading Kenneth Hagin books, building my faith, listening to messages over and over and over again. And I knew in myself that, no, I will not fail this course. I will be productive based on our topic. I will not fail this course. And then I started declaring it. I started reading as much as I could read. Guess what? When I got to the exam, I don't know if you've ever got into an exam before and you look at all the questions, you could recognize that these are topics that we are taught in class, but now you don't even know how to go about them. That was exactly what I experienced in that exam. Like, I was seeing questions, I was wondering how to go about it. It's a thing to be able to start and not finish, but it's one thing to look at the question and you don't even understand the question. So how do you even answer it? But I knew I was not going to fail. And guess what I did? I started looking at the questions, doing whatever I thought was relevant, was close, was something that looked like what the topic is. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you exactly what happened. If the topic is, I'm just using an example now, let's say algebra, whatever thing I can remember in algebra, I just started doing it for each of the topic. That's exactly what I did in that exam. And I was able to pass that exam. Why? I did what I said, right association. Because I was reading books on faith. And I knew, as I declare socially, I will not fail this course. That's how I scaled through. Don't ask me what I scored, but I scaled through. Some people had extra year because of all these courses. But I scaled through. Why? Because of right association. If you want to be productive, you need to work with people that are productive. If you are doing a business and others are scaling, there is something they know, especially if they are believers. Of course, that's why it says right association. Are they believers? Do they have the values you have? Then go close to them and you will see how they do it. I was shocked that one of my business mentors was saying that when he wanted to name his business, he prayed to God. He said, God, what name should I give this business? And God told him. Now, if I want to name my own business, will I just name it casually? No. It's reinforced in me that no, when you want to name a business, you pray again. Right association. So wrong association is one of the enemies of productivity. Then number 9, procrastination. I don't know if anybody can talk about procrastination more than me. Procrastination, my daddy told me, because I so much procrastinated that I was forgetting almost everything I should do. I had one task every day to clean my daddy's shoes, and I would still forget. That's one task to do every day, but I would still forget because of procrastination. My dad just realized that, hey, it is because of procrastination. I have set your heart. I have seen that you are not doing it intentionally, because there was only one explanation naturally, that I wasn't willing to do it. But when he checked that, no, He said, it's because I will plan to do it, then I will procrastinate. I will say, I will do it later. And he said, no. Procrastination is a thief of time. Things done by half are never done well. That's it. So if you keep procrastinating, you are delaying actions. You will end up not being productive, God forbid. Because the time will pass. Go and listen to the episode on times and seasons again. The time will pass and opportunities will be gone. And then productivity will not be in view again. So look at every area of your life and make sure you don't procrastinate anymore. Once you know the right thing to do, you prayed, you are sure of what to do, just take step and do it. Because some people are experiencing delays in life because of procrastination. But I pray that God will have mercy on us in any areas we have procrastinated and have missed the blessing. May God grant us grace and mercy to be able to tap into those blessings again in Jesus' name. Amen. Then number 10, lack of favor. You know, we always mention this word of favor. Are we always? I will explain it this way. It can be likened to, let's say you want to plant corn as a farmer and you plant corn. You got the best yield of corn, the best seed. You planted it in what you think is a good land. And then you watered it, you are weeding it, doing everything that is right. However, there are no nutrients in that soil. What do you think will happen to the corn? It will not grow well. Even if it grows, it will not be productive enough. That is exactly what the lack of favor does. Everything can be right. But if that nutrient called favor is missing, that person will just be laboring and laboring and laboring without resource to show for it. May that not be the portion of anyone here in Jesus' name. And guess what? One may be favored in one area and be lacking favor in another area. Which means, in that area that you may be lacking favor, you take action. Whether by prayer or by action, whatever you need to do to get God to shine His face on that area, you need to do it. You need all-round favor. I need all-round favor. And by the reason of this proclamation today, I decree that you begin to walk in all-round favor in the name of Jesus. No more delays. No more wasting of time. No more struggling. No more fruitlessness. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then, second to the last, under enemies of productivity, curses. The opposite of blessing is curses. Now, curses are just like programs. You know, when something is programmed, like automations, like somebody is programmed to fail, that is curse. Blessing is being programmed to succeed. We as believers have been programmed to succeed. But if we break the edge, in one way or another, we can find ourselves walking in curses. But when we revert our ways and make sure our ways are right with God, the curses can be gone. And sometimes it will need the direct intervention of the anointing to break the yoke, because the anointing breaks the yoke. So you want to look at your life. What area does it look like I've been programmed to fail? Then you break that curse by the anointing, by the name of Jesus, by higher authority in the Spirit, praying and laying hands on you. By impartation, the curses can be broken. And then you can begin to walk in blessings. Curses can make something that should produce, not to produce. It actually sucks life out of productivity. It doesn't bring about productivity. When the devil put his hand in the life of Job, see, the blessing of God was making Job to prosper. But when the devil put his hand in, guess what happened? He started walking in curses, in quotes, because everything was failing, everything was dying. That's why you and I should know that if anything is working in your life, it's because God is making it work. If God withdraws for a moment, man, the devils are ready to attack. No matter what you think is not productive right now, if you are still standing, it's because God is still blessing. There is still a blessing in your life and in my life. That is why we are standing. So you want to look at any area of your life that it looks as if you've been programmed not to succeed, and then wage war in the spirit against those things. And then bring yourself to the place of blessing. There are things to do to walk in blessings. And then there are spiritual actions to do also. Obedience to God will naturally put you in the place of blessings. Obeying God consistently. But even if you are doing all those things and it looks as if these things are functional, make sure the anointing comes in to break that yoke. And then lastly, direct demonic activities. Direct demonic activities. Curses actually activate demonic activities. Idol worship activates demonic activity. Lack of consecration activates demonic activities. And fear activates demonic activities. Just like faith, obedience to God activates angelic activities. The Bible says the angels are filled with power, and then they work swiftly to make sure the word of God comes to pass. The same way, demons, when we speak wrong words, when we walk in fear, demons can be activated because that's their work. They do the negative. Angels do the positive. So if you begin to speak wrong words to yourself, something is working in your house, you just begin to say, it's finished, it's finished, it's finished. God forbid. Demons will activate it because that's their work. Or sometimes angels are the ones that will even activate it because they are working by your words. So you want to look at any area of your life. See, when you've done all, you are active, you are not lazy, you are doing what is right, and then things are still not working. It could be as a result of direct demonic activities. I've seen that several times in my life. Then when I've done everything, and it seems like, okay, for example, your business that was growing before, everything was working fine, then suddenly it just stops working. No, it's not time to keep quiet. It's time to rise up and rebuke the enemy, and then they will be silent. See, Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Who can be more filled with the Holy Ghost than Paul? But guess what? For like 3 days, the demonic girl was even doing what looks like God was the one doing it. He was telling them, these people are servants of God. These people are servants of God. But it came to a time, he said, when he was vexed in the spirit, he knew, no, this is not the spirit of God at work. Even though it looks like he's doing the will of God, but it's not the spirit of God. That means the power of God will be in that, because demons are the ones talking instead of the spirit of God. And he rebuked that spirit and cast the spirit out. And guess what? Demonic activity was silenced. That means as a believer, demonic activity could still operate around your life if you don't silence it. It will try to work, but you silence it. Anything that doesn't look like God, you silence it by the name of Jesus. And guess what? It doesn't take time. They will be silent immediately. Just say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you every demonic activity. Has your business been going down? Has your career been attacked? Have you checked and things have not been working the way they used to work? Guess what you should do? Rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And then you see that there will be high productivity in every area of your life. And then the non-spiritual things like we mentioned before, planning, programming, efficiency, effectiveness. These are things you want to check. And what are the benefits of a productive life? Fulfillment, blessings from God. Today, our focus by the Spirit is to focus on the spiritual aspect. And that's why what we talked about today are spiritual. So please check your life today. What are the things hindering your productivity? Are there itches and problems here and there that just show up at the wrong time, which could be as a result of demonic activities? Rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Distractions that you permit. Social media distractions. See, most of our phones have the ability for you to set the time that you are not disturbed. You can even decide that only phone calls should come in. Then this time around, every day, that there should be no messages coming from any social media. You can do it on your phone. You can block that distraction. Loss of will and eagerness. Most times, it could be as a power of the enemy. Or maybe because you are in the wrong will of God, you are not doing the right thing. If you begin to lose eagerness, you may want to check also. Lack of understanding of the requirements. These are enemies of productivity. Lack of nurture. Without nurture, there is no growth. Without growth, there is no productivity. Wrong information. Lack of information, wrong association, procrastination, lack of favor, curses, direct demonic activities. And now, the lack of information, I think I didn't mention it, but thank God someone is here today. For like 7 years of my life, there was something, a technology I never knew about. And I think it was after I started praying about favor. And then, that was when I met Goki here. And it was one that told me about that solution. I didn't even know it existed. So if I did not know it existed, how will I use it? I didn't know that it exists. So how will I maximize it? But after as I prayed, my eyes were open to it. God brought in my way, one way or the other. So you may also want to pray. What are the things you are not aware of? They said, the things you don't know are the things killing you. Have you heard that statement before? If you don't know it, how will you work in it? Even the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So as you leave here today, you want to pray that God, open my eyes to the blessings that are hidden from me. See that woman at the well, Agar, the servant of Sarah. There was a well beside her she didn't know. Abraham, there was a ram stuck in the thicket. He didn't know. Of course, God brought it there, but he didn't know. If God did not open his eyes, he wouldn't have seen it. The same with the opportunities lying around us. Opportunities for productivity, but we are not seeing them. Because probably the enemy has hindered us from seeing them. So it's time to rise up, to make declarations, to proclaim, to decree the things you want to see, and pray that God open the eyes of my understanding, that I may see the length, the width, the height, the depth of your blessing, of your power. And I pray that as we begin to do all these things, that our productivity level will rise up and will become highly productive, that every second will count, every moment will count in the name of Jesus. Every moment of your life may begin to count now in the name of Jesus, and so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen. I hope you've been blessed today. Praise God. And as we go into the new year, let's be productivity conscious. I think that's another thing. Being productivity conscious is also another step to be productive. If you are not conscious about it, checking every moment. Like Mike Mudo says that, he says he has never seen any poor person who values time. Just check around you. All the poor people, they always have time. They are never busy. They always have time. And he said he has never seen a rich man who doesn't value time. So, check. You want to know what time it is almost every moment. 9 o'clock. What you should be doing by 9. What you should be doing by 10. What you should be doing by 7 a.m. Please, let's wake up and do this, because God will judge our time that we spend on it. He said, even every idle word, he said, we give an account of it. What about idle time? So I pray that even as we begin to take action to all these things, I pray that we will be brought to the level of high productivity in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you all. I see your comments. And I pray that even as we step ahead and we meet again next week for the next topic, I pray that by the time you return with results and you become a very highly productive person in the name of Jesus. Productivity means fruitfulness. In any area of life that you are not productive, I rebuke that spirit and I decree that you are brought to the level of high productivity. In Jesus Christ's mighty name we are prayed. Amen. I await your testimonies and I will surely hear it next. In Jesus' mighty name. See you next week. I remain ever blessed. Amen. Bye everyone. And please, like I say always, invite someone next Sunday. Make it a duty to invite someone. God bless you. Bye.
The good success.com